The year was 1991. The place, the Consumer Electronics Show. Nintendo and Sony were working together to bring a CD-ROM version of the Super Famicom to the market. A mere 24 hours later, inexplicably creating a shockwave that would change the history of video games as we now know it, Nintendo severed its partnership with Sony to go and make the same product with the inferior Philips Corporation. It was then that the path of vengeance was created. Sony knew what it had to do, and 3 years later, the legend arrived in the PlayStation 1. For the next 25 years, including the current year of our Lord, 2020, and with no stops of slowing down, the PlayStation brand has brought its brand of excellence across four home consoles, multiple portable handhelds, long live the Vita, and recently into the world of virtual reality. And that brand has no end in sight as it keeps moving toward its singular goal for gamers around the world, young and old, of all genders, races, religions, and necks. This is a show all about recognizing this path of excellence. This is the show to celebrate the worlds and experiences that we get to play in. This is the show that highlights amazing developers doing shoes work. This is the show where greatness awaits. Welcome to the Road to Greatness. I am your host, Kyle Stevenson, a.k.a. WhoDatNinja73, alongside the best co-host in all the land, Joseph, Mr. Badbit. How are you doing, buddy?
Man, oh man, let me tell you something. I love that we keep on ripping off Bobby Paul's, and I just love it. Keep it there. That's ours now. Bobby, you're going to have to pay us a retainer. Kyle, did you know? You say that.
I've never listened to Bobby's show. Sorry, Bobby. So I don't know if I'm ripping him off.
Suck it.
There it is.
With that, Kyle, I want to do something new with the Road to Greatness.
Yeah.
Okay. I know I'm the co-host here, but I sometimes just feel like a jump of like, I want to do something different, you know, change.
You have urges.
I have urges I can't control. I want to do something different here where every time we start the show, I come up with a fun fact.
Oh, great.
Starting on this very show, and I will then start doing it on every show that we're doing together. And did you know, Kyle? It has been 1,773 days since we got the original Bloodborne. And I say original because today it's official. I'm throwing my hat in the ring. Badbit has joined the hunt. We're getting Bloodborne 2. I don't know who I got to talk to. I don't know who I got to fight. But it's happening. I'm doing great, Kyle. How are you?
Man, I wish I knew you were going to do that because I would have come up with my own thing. Because this is my show that I'm hosting. You can't come with you without Bloodborne's.
I told you sometimes I got urges, man.
How many days
has it been since Resistance?
I have to look that number up. I don't know it offhand.
I think the website's like howlonghasitbeen.com.
Oh, really?
I think that's what
I'll look that up later because that's interesting to know.
So, Kyle, the Road to Greatness, it's actually been a few weeks since we've recorded the last episode of the Death Stranding. I think we got to chapter 7.
Yeah, we did 5, 6, 7 last episode.
So we're now going to do 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yes.
And we're doing that because literally the last three chapters are just one giant cutscene. And we're just going to, what we're going to do with Death Stranding is kind of, kind of do it in one big chunk and then lay it out to rest. Mm-hmm. We're still going to talk in depth. Don't worry. We do want to revamp the show and what it is about this show that makes it tick. So doing the Road to Greatness kind of taught us a few things. Yeah. First and foremost, people drop off after the second episode. Secondly, it's a lot of work to try to get the in-depth, the minutiae of how everything works in the video game. And I thought it would be way simpler. And I also thought games wouldn't get delayed so much. We had a roadmap. Yeah. The next game was supposed to be The Last of Us Part 2. Mm-hmm. Then we're like, oh, don't worry. It'll be Final Fantasy 7. And then we're like, don't worry. It'll be... We don't know.
Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk. Yeah, that won't move. So what we decided to do is every single month we're going to have one game that we're highlighting that we will be playing. Mm-hmm. So the next Road to Greatness is going to be the Uncharted The Lost Legacy. That is the latest Uncharted that is with Chloe and Nadine and their adventure. We're going to be covering that and we're going to be recording it this weekend. It should be out probably by the second week of February, and that's just going to be one big chunk for everybody to digest. Mm-hmm. And then as new games come and as we start playing them, we're going to leave our impressions and a roundtable of discussions for you on Patreon, and that'll be the road to greatness. So for the month of February, your homework is we're covering Uncharted The Lost Legacy, and we're going to be covering Darksiders Genesis.
If Terminator Genesis has anything to say about it.
is that really how they said it?
No, that's just the internet joke about it.
Oh, okay. I don't know what
it's like. Target. Is. Some people call Tarjay.
I mean, that's how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So yeah, that's what the road to greatness is going to essentially be for the big games that we're covering, like the big PlayStation exclusives, like Final Fantasy VII. We're going to have one episode that's going to cover the surface level, so it brings everybody in, and then once we beat the game, we're going to have a finished product for you guys and gals.
Because that was
our overall review.
That was another thing that we ran across doing this, is that we both beat Death Stranding, and then Death Stranding is such a heavy and dense game that it's kind of hard to come back. Now it's been a couple months since we beat it while we're recording this. And it's kind of hard to remember all the plot points and how we felt during that time. So why not just have one episode right after we beat it, and just like out that those are our right off the bat initial impressions, what we loved or hated about it. And I feel like it would lend better to a better show, basically.
Yeah. Also, when the months are slow, I want to add your thoughts in what you want us to play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just going to be the latest and greatest. I want to go back to my Vita. I want to go get a PSP again, get a UMD. Hell, remember those things?
Oh, I do.
They were cool. They were cool.
Remember the news, not news, but like you and her, like, don't open them up.
Yeah.
Don't open up the UMD. Like, you'll go to jail.
I had one friend that did, and then like he had to get like a bootlegged like UMD case to fit it back in. So yeah, that's what we want to do. So I think we're gonna start that in June when things get dead. So we're still going to be covering, you know, Final Fantasy VII. We're still going to cover Doom Eternal, The Last of Us, Marvel Avengers. And then when it's the slower months, we want to play games with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely,
I got some games in mind. I can't wait to dust off the good old PS2, man. Got so many fond memories. But you know what, Kyle? That's the updates for the Road to Greatness.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the pit stop along the way.
Mm-hmm.
We got Death Stranding stuff.
We got Death Stranding. All about our BB and our journey through this apocalyptic world, trying to have bridges, reconnect everybody to save the world. We left off with Chapter 7, which was, ironically enough, called I Want My BB Back, or that kind of like synopsis of the last couple of chapters. So Chapter 8, we left off. This is where we're going to meet Heartman for the first time in the game. He's popped up in like holograms throughout your playing, and you don't really know too much about him. He always seems like he's eager to leave. Like he says this stuff and he's got to go, and you don't know why until this chapter. And basically the plot summary goes like this. Sam pays a man known as Heartman a visit, who dives into a deeper explanation of what a beach is in Death Stranding. A beach, as Heartman explains it, is a space created by one soul. They're called beaches, but they don't have to be actual beaches. They are shaped by the individual's beliefs, religion, philosophy, etc. When a person dies, their beach essentially acts as a corridor connecting them to the other side, a sort of limbo, so to speak. Each person has their own unique beach, but if a bunch of people die all at once, their beaches become tangled in what's known as a strand field. Those battlefields that Sam finds Clifford in, those are Cliff's beaches. Fragile uses her beach to teleport between hub cities. That beach that Sam and Amelie converse on, that's a beachy beach. I love how IGN put that. Sam makes his way to Heartman with Mama's non-decomposing, non-necrotizing corpse on his back, along with a mysterious umbilical cord that Deadman wanted him to investigate. We learn that Heartman has a very close relationship with beaches, as he dies every 21 minutes for 3 minutes before being revived, allowing him to explore beaches 60 times per day in an effort to locate and reunite with his dead wife and child. At the time Sam meets him, he's been to the beach 218,549 times. So I'm going to stop right there with the synopsis, because that was a lot right there.
Yes.
This is probably the most exposition-heavy chapter in the game, and it really hits you over the head with all these explanations of what is a beach. And that kind of confirms what I thought it was. It's kind of like a limbo. It's kind of like the in-between. And then he tries to explain
but how I do other like people it. Use
them. Yeah, oh, it's because fantastic.
It's just like, hey, listen, it's pretty much Kojima telling the viewer every religion's right.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know? It's what you, it's what do you think heaven is? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah.
And I think it also helps that like the actor behind Hartman, like I really enjoy Hartman's performance and I enjoy the character of him. Yeah. I also love that when he does die, cause there's a timer in this chapter going down of like how much time he has until he has to go lay on his gurney to die and then get resuscitated. Yeah. And that whole time, like when he is dead, you just roam around the room and you have to wait the 3 minutes before he gets revived. There's no cutscene like 3 minutes later. No, you are living in that time, real time. Like it's,
and you're checking out like his vinyls, his movie collections. Yeah. This chapter is so cool. It's like the world building that Kojima does, I get now, you know? Mm-hmm. I say it all the time. I'm not a big Kojima fan. This guy has brought me in with Death Stranding. And it's really that world building, that sense of like, what is a beach? What is Hartman doing? Why is what he's doing matters? Like all these like little weird things getting explained are awesome. And then this is where Kojima really gets very Kojima, where Hartman constantly breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
He'll look at the camera and he'll just give you a thumbs up and you'll get the little
You'll get a couple likes, and then
you get a couple likes.
I think you say something stupid at the end of the chapter, and he takes some likes away.
Yeah,
but then when you leave, he just gives it right back to you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is, it's super cool. And also another thing that Kojima loves to do is just all these characters have tragic backstories.
Yeah,
like
Mama,
and the fact like the reason why he's going to the beach 60 times a day is to find his dead wife and child. Yeah.
Because he just wants to be, he wants to be dead with them, and that's like the most heartbreaking thing about it. I believe it was a void out, right?
Yes,
that took him away. So like, just imagine like a fucking nuke happens in your city, and you're the one that lives. And
if I'm not mistaken, you know,
it's like fucking defeating. Yeah,
I think it's the same void out that Mama experienced.
I believe so as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's You really feel for the characters in this game, and Kojima, that's one of his strong suits. Like, they could be super weird and out there characters, like Hartman dies every 20 minutes or so. Like, you connect with them pretty easily because of their, grounded.
And, he'll beat you over the head with, certain things, like Mama is, oh, I get it, she gave birth, she's a mama, right?
Yes.
Like, Hartman, I get it. Yep. He gives himself a heart attack. Die Hard Man loves to watch Die Hard. I got it.
Yeah.
But like it's the personalities within those characters that are selling it so well that you don't care that they're beating you over the head with something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So to continue in chapter 8, a couple of deliveries and chiral network additions later, we learn that the umbilical cord Dead Man smuggled into Sam's cargo actually belonged to Bridget Strand and is apparently the key to unlocking the mystery of the Death Stranding. Hartman deduces that the cord, along with Mama's body, have sails infused with Kyrillium, giving them a connection to the beach and allowing them to escape the flow of time. And again, right when he brings us in with some grounded stuff, he just brings something in that I don't understand.
Yeah. Answers a question, and then gives you a question. What is this?
Absolutely.
And now it's your job to figure out what the fuck this is.
Yeah. Like, how do they get the umbilical cord? Like, why is it...
Why you gotta ask all these questions?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to do my best to understand your game.
You know what? You know what other game has umbilical cords in it?
Oh, God. Are you talking about Bloodborne?
1,773 days.
I hate you. Moving on to episode 9. I'm trying to remember. Again, it's been a while. Yeah. Chapter 8, all the deliveries and stuff, that is in the snowy mountains.
Yes.
And I think we touched on that a little bit last episode.
We touched upon it a little bit. So he wants you to go out there because you learn something about extinction entities. That there have been prior extinction events set off by certain creatures and living things. And we're having the hunch that this umbilical cord has a link to an EE, they call it. So your job is to go out to various people to help them do their research and bring it back to Hartman.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And so that's what chapter 8's all about. And god damn it, did I love it.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because this really does showcase the power of the PlayStation 4 Pro. I don't know how this thing would run on a base PlayStation 4. I don't know how it would sound like a jet engine taken off. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you're in the mountains and the snow physics, like, this is the first game, I don't know about you, it actually feels like I'm in the snow.
Oh, yeah.
Just the way you're sloshing through.
Yeah, you feel the difficulty of going through the feet of snow on a rocky mountain. Like, you feel it when you're walking through, which is great.
Yeah. What about the weather? Like, the wind? Again, sound design in this game is incredible.
And also, like, it's probably, like, a silly thing to kind of be, like, in awe of, but Timefall, everywhere else is rain. But when you're up in the mountains, it is snow, and blizzards come. And, like, man, that makes sense. But, like, I'm glad that he's paying attention to that detail, and it's not just raining in a snowy area. It is snow, and then when you get to, like, certain parts of the mountain, it is straight-up whiteout blizzards. And, man, dude, they suck.
And the cool thing about the blizzards is you can't see 2 feet in front of you.
No.
But it's not like how video games do, you know, the distance, the field, the depth, the field, where all of a sudden it's just, you know, you can kind of see the line on the ground and in the sky where they don't want you to see. No, it's just a lot of fog.
Yeah.
It's a lot of particle effects all around you that really sell the blizzard. But I did have a problem here, Kyle.
Oh, okay.
Because you're wearing this goddamn windbreaker with a hood. How are you protecting your face? We go back to this constantly. That's the weird thing. Like, I would have liked a helmet.
Yeah.
Because that would make more sense.
Or like a face guard. Like, you wear goggles and then a face guard of some kind.
Something. Or else I'm just going to be old man Reedus by the end of this goddamn game.
Uh-huh.
You know? But to me, this was the best. And it actually really taught you how to plot. It really did test. Okay, do you know really how to do this?
Yeah.
Because we're giving you mountainous terrain. And then we're giving you a steep drop.
Yeah.
Now learn.
Yeah.
And that's what I dug. And they give you a new item, which I use. It's kind of like a heating pod that you put on a part of your body instead of a piece of equipment to help warm your muscles up, or else your stamina drains faster.
Yes.
And I thought that was really fucking cool, too.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Always introducing new mechanics to not, you know, keep things fresh. It's great.
It constantly kept things fresh. And again, like, just reminiscing about this level, it gets me in the feels, because this is where I peak with Death Stranding. At chapter 7 and 8, that's where my high love for this game is.
Mm-hmm.
And even there's, I think you're, when you go to the archaeologist in episode 8, you have to go through this, like, geyser-filled area to get to her. And so, like, all of a sudden, you kind of see all the environments blend into one, where you got this blizzard snowy area. All of a sudden, you get this what looks like springtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is nice. Like a Minnesotan-esque feel.
Yeah.
And then you get glaciers out of nowhere. And then you get introduced to a new enemy. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
The Big BTs. Did you ever run into the Big BTs?
I don't think so. Not the... I can't remember.
These things scared the shit out of me.
Uh-huh.
Honest to God, I never tried to fuck with it. I just ran from it, because it is like a normal BT, but like 40 stories tall. And I looked at it and I was just like, not today, Satan.
I can actually, now that you mentioned how big it was, I never ran into one of them.
Oh my God. Because there's like one of the little mini missions in episode 8. They're like, hey, get my stuff in this geyser area. I'm like, first off, why is everybody leaving all their shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Secondly, why is everybody having to hang around BTs and then I gotta pick up their shit on the beat? Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like a mother at this point. Pick up your own shit. Deal with the BTs yourself.
Yeah.
But that was a really awesome area, and where I really liked it. I don't know how you feel about the BTs in this area, but like, it kind of breaks the game. The handcuff, like, chopping off the umbilical cords, because what I would just do is hold my breath, walk up, press I think, what is it,
square. Circle
or square, and then bam, and I send them to the afterlife, and I'm like, there you go, nighty night, motherfucker. I'm not dealing with it.
I think it was cool for sure. I never used that until like Later in the game, when I was just kind of like done with dealing with them, and I just kind of wanted to progress to see what the story was going to happen next. Okay. My biggest issue with this one, and I'm not sure if it was chapter, I think it might have been chapter 7, but when basically when Deadman takes BB away from you, and you have to you know, go through this mountainous snowy area, but you don't have BB to do this paint to look for BTs. Yeah. I died
Yeah, I think that's chapter 7, and that's when I hated the game, and I actually just didn't want to, I didn't want, like, there was one part where I was just like, come on, how many more things do I have to fucking connect? I want my BB back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I miss BB, it's like, no, I need this fucking tool or else I can't see where these BTs are. So give me back Lou, or we're going to have words.
Absolutely.
And he gives them back eventually.
Yeah. Like, and in that time, I learned to, like, listen to the sound cues, like, when, like, Kojima will add like some sort of like musical thing or the slowdown effects almost like you know they're around you but the fact that you can't ping and know how close you are, like, I don't know for you, but like every time when I would play this game and ping and then realize oh shit, I am right next to one, if I move an inch to the right it's over.
I'm like,
oh man, that is so that is so creepy though to think in that section without BB how they're probably like right next to you.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't have any idea. You wouldn't know that at all, which is nuts.
It's fantastic. Yeah. So, okay, we get back to Heartman. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I did in Chapter 8 was this is when I started really trying my best to help people. So I did a lot of slingshots. So I knew how hard it was to get from one area to the other, especially how mountainous it is. So I made sure that I made slingshots for people so that you can get from Heartman to the basin completely with ease. And so everybody who found that, you owe me one.
And you know, you did the thing that I did before this chapter where I linked all the way up from like I think it's Lake Port Lake City, Port Knot City, all the way up to like the mountainous range. I spent hours doing that. So like that's the way to go. That's just like a nice thing to do for everyone else that's in your world.
But at the same exact time, I'm bad at games. And like some people like to say I'm really good, but I'm not as helpful. So like I'll get the shit I need to do. So like I did the slingshot thing. And then after a certain point, like I didn't litter them anywhere. Like I put like three or four up tops. And I was just like, okay, after this point, it's like pretty easy from here. And if you can't do it, sorry, that's on you, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When it came to the boot degradation, did you ever run out and have to use the weird seaweed shoes?
Never.
The sandals? I did.
I always had like three pairs of boots on my backpack at all times.
I had one and I don't know what I always, it's kind of like when I'm like, when I'm driving, I go straight to E. I'm like, let's see how far I could push this thing. I'm like Kramer. You know what I mean? Like, let's see how far we can go. That's how I was with the boots. I was like, let's see how far we can go with that.
Also real quick before we move on to the next chapter, I just realized that right outside Heartman's house, the lake is heart shaped. So it's very literal, very literal around this part.
He's a genius. Kojima is so smart.
Real quick, I forgot to mention the synopsis that I'm reading is from IGN. Mitchell Saltzman wrote all this up. So
thank you, Mitchell.
I want to make sure I give the props there because he did a great job of trying to wrangle all this stuff together. So chapter 9 is where you mentioned before is all about the extinction entities. That's when it's kind of being brought in. Now, here's where things get last two episodes of Evangelion levels of crazy. The umbilical cord leads Heartman to believe that Bridget Strand was actually an extinction entity, and that Amelie, being her daughter, may actually be an extinction entity herself. Though Higgs already told us that, so thanks for the spoiler warning, Higgs. After crossing a giant tar pit, Sam finally reaches his destination on the West Coast and completes his goal of reconnecting America. It's at this point where Higgs reappears with Amelie, applauding Sam on an man, that's a lot of words that have N in them right next to each other. On an unintentional job. Well done. Wow, that's a mouthful. Now that the chiral network is complete, Higgs plans on using Amelie to merge all of mankind's beaches onto a single shore and trigger a final Death Stranding to bring on the sixth and most devastating extinction event. Which brings us to a big old boss fight. Here is where I have mixed feelings about.
Okay, before we even get there.
Yeah.
So you get to the final satellite, and then, yeah, you have to make your way to the final city to connect everything together. Mm-hmm. This part right here was dope.
Oh, it's great.
You
it
have
cool.
to cross a sea of, like, these dolphins that are just, you know, jumping in front of you, and it felt tense until I realized, I'm like, actually, I don't think they're going to hit me at all.
Yeah.
And they didn't whatsoever, but it was just a cool cinematic feel.
Now, here is where I got a little confused.
Okay.
I was like, how am I going to cross this? Am I just going to walk into it?
Yeah.
And it took me a couple tries to think of, oh, let the BTs catch you.
Exactly.
That's what you have to do. The BTs have to catch you, and then they bring you into the lake, and that's how you can cross it. But, like, it took me probably almost an hour to figure out, like, because I would walk in. And then I would, like, die, or, like it wouldn't let me do it or something. I was like, well, I know where I'm going. Let me go.
Yeah, to me, I was just like, okay, so I have to get to the very corner. And I'm just sneaking, like, killing all these BTs with ease. And then, yeah, I finally, I was like, all right, let me pull a Neo from Matrix 3. Let me let the bad guy get me at the end. And then pull me in. That boss fight, though, was so cool. I thought it was, like, it's, again, Kojima telling you, hey, the boss fights aren't supposed to be this huge, big challenge. It's just something, a tense moment, really, more than anything. It's just like a, like, he's thinking outside the box when it comes to some of these boss fights. And this is just one of them where it's just like, don't fight it at all. Just fucking run.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next scene with Higgs where, you know, you do, you know, get the whole city up and running again. I thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I thought that line was... You understood what he was about, where it was just like, Higgs is just a nihilist. He wants the world to end because he doesn't see the point to life at this point. So that's why he wants you to fail so bad. He wants you to bring the chiral network online so that he could essentially hack the system, rig it, and then cause another extinction entity event. I thought that was so awesome. I'm like, oh, this bad guy, he wants to die. That's his whole thing, and he's kind of pissed he can't.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on board for it.
Now, question, because I know this is a trophy in the game. Yeah. I didn't get the trophy, but apparently you can find Higgs's room. It's like his apartment.
Yes.
And go, did you end up finding it?
No, because I did not do, I did one of the, because he's the dumb mission with the pizza boxes, where you're literally delivering pizza. That's Higgs's house.
Ah.
And so when you deliver them all to Higgs, you unlock the room, and that's all the craziness.
I did not realize that was his place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, weird, but dope.
Okay.
Also, the one thing I really loved, and I believe this, this is like chapter 8 or 9, where you're entering the city, and it's just like all these Bosnian brains, and you gotta have to sneak past them as well. Like, it gets very Cthulhu-like, because if they sense you, they'll just go to you and explode.
Yeah.
Kind of like a flood in Halo.
Yeah. And they also kind of remind me a little bit of Metroid. Just a little bit.
Again, they got out of their whatever little amiibos. I've never played a Metroid.
But then we get to this, neither have I. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But then we get to the boss fight with Higgs, where after he says, like, Amelie, like, I want to use Amelie to do this extinction event. Then Higgs turns into this giant ass BT.
Yeah.
Yes. Does he become the BT, or is he, like, strapped onto it? I forget.
He's kind of, like, strapped onto it. So, like,
I know Amelie is strapped to the giant BTs chest. On the chest, and, like, the gold Kyrillium. It looks like duct tape, pretty much.
All of a sudden, this becomes a giant kaiju fight.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, welcome to, what is this? He says something like, welcome to Doomsday, motherfucker, or something along those lines. I'm like, okay, oof. But, like, even Troy Baker's doing these cringy-ass lines, but, like, he's doing it so well, you don't give a shit.
Yep.
He's so into his role. And, he's on top of this giant kaiju that you're fighting, and then it just becomes every other boss fight in a video game.
Which is why I was bummed out. It's why I'm not a huge fan of the Clifford Unger sections. It's like, this game is supposed to be all about the journey and the traveling through the difficult terrain, connecting people. I really wish he just... But, you know, put all the chips on the table, went all in with, like, no combat at all. I don't need sure, it's cool to have this giant image of this giant SBT, and it was cool seeing like other players like reach up and mm-hmm. hand you weapons because you're running out of like ammo and stuff. That was cool, but like that's not what I wanted to play this game for. I wanted the journey. I don't want to take out this giant kaiju.
It totally conflicts with the earliest, like in episode 3, where he's just like, I'm not a soldier, I'm a fucking delivery guy.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden you're shooting rocket launchers. Mm-hmm. And like, how the fuck does a UPS guy have a rocket launcher and know how to use it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So like, that's where, this boss fight. And then after a while, because Koji, like, again, the boss fights are different and he wants you to win because there's no challenge in this boss fight in particular. It's different when you're trying to run away and you're doing something different that you're not usually doing in a boss fight. But when now you're just fighting this boss fight, it's like, why does he just step on you? I don't get it. Well, why is he shooting these all? Why is he shooting his goo at you? I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I didn't like this fight whatsoever, but I did like the fight after.
Oh, absolutely. So then after you defeat Higgs' giant BT boss, Higgs run off with Amelie to the beach. Fortunately, using a Fragile's special power, Sam is able to follow them for one final fisticuff showdown. So, and then it says, you know, after you beat up Higgs, we'll say that afterwards, but I want to talk about the fight, because this fight is, take what I said about the combat before.
Yeah.
This is okay. This is like, you have to hide around and pick things up off the ground, which, like packages, throw it at Higgs when he appears, stun him, then go up and just punch him. It feels like something a UPS person would do. Yeah. And it's, one of my favorite parts of this is one of the packages you pick up is a PlayStation.
Yes, it's a PlayStation 4 on the ground.
No, PlayStation 1, I think it is.
Oh, was it? I think I saw a PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. You just pick up a package with PlayStation and you can use that. I'm like, that's awesome.
Chuck it at him. Yeah, I thought that was cool. This boss fight I actually loved.
Yes.
It's really cool because, he's just like, stick versus rope. And it goes back to the beginning with the quote of how civilizations are made, with a stick and a goddamn rope. And by God, listen here, a Corvette used to be a nickel. this fight's really dope. And at one part, he just has his gun. He's like, fuck it. You know what? I was joking about the stick. You know what I mean? Now he's just going to shoot you on sight, and you have to sneak up on him with the rope and then beat the shit out of him. That was super cool. Then he was just like, I'm fucking Kojima. Remember, I can do whatever I want. You guys get into the tar pit, and it's fucking Tekken. It literally turns into a fighting game.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that
I think that was my favorite part about this boss fight is... You do a couple of stages of throwing things at Higgs and kind of take him out that way. And then Higgs was like, you know what, fine, fuck it. And then let's just go. And then the health bars come up over the top of each player. And you're like in close quarter and you just got to like dodge and punch back.
That was
then
so cool.
You have the crypto things.
The crypto bites?
The bugs, crypto bites.
Yeah.
They pop up, you grab them to eat to regain health so you don't die. God, that was such a cool Kojima-ass way to be meta about this game. It's just kind of how Psycho Mantis in Metal Gear Solid 1 could read your memory card and know what you were playing, and you had to switch controllers. But this is like, it's a video game. There's health bars now. And it's...
fuck it. This was one of the most interesting... boss fights I've ever played. I wouldn't say best, but I think it is the most interesting in the second act, where it's just like, it's literally 90s Tekken, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
Oh, it was
fuck?
So cool. I loved it.
That was so cool. And when you finally beat Higgs, this is where the game gets hazy, even for me.
Yeah.
As a person who ends up like loving this game so much, this is where stuff kind of gets weird, and I'm very confused and lost by.
Yeah. So the chapter 9 ends with, after you beat him up, you leave Higgs's fate up to Fragile, because Fragile and Higgs have a long,
she said
long history.
Leave him alive. Mm-hmm. I want to be the one that fucking kills him.
So you kind of walk away, you give Fragile a gun, I'm pretty sure, and you just walk away from the scene. And then after that,
then
Sam...
you hear the shot, right?
What was that?
You hear the shot.
Yes, you do hear a shot. Yes.
So that immediately when I heard the shot, I'm like, he's not dead. She's probably dead.
I also thought something was weird about it.
Yeah. Classic movies. If you don't see the person die, they didn't die.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then Sam rescues Amelie and everything seems to be fine. And that's how we end chapter 9.
Yeah. With a Princess Peach line. Yeah. So you had me running around America. Like what? What are you like? Princess fucking Peach. Like I'm Mario and you Princess fucking Peach. Everybody's like, I hate this line. I'm just like, what? Are you kidding me? I love this line.
It's pretty cool. And then here was where things go off the rails. Yes. Mitchell here puts 10 through 13 in one big plot summary. So I'm going to read through it and stop on the way. Turns out, Amelie has lied to Sam about a bunch of stuff. But there's still the matter of Clifford and his hunt for his BB. Clifford appears on the beach along with Die Hardman and Bridget Strand. Cliff recognizes Die Hardman and Bridget and demands his BB back. Bridget points him in Sam's direction. Before he's able to get to Sam, though, Amelie shoves Sam off a cliff, and he reawakens in a private room. So right off the bat, Die Hardman and Cliff know each other? That's weird. Like, why would Cliff look at, like recognition on Die Hardman's face? Especially because Cliff has been in wars in the flashbacks that are longer than I feel like Die Hardman is alive.
Yeah.
Like the years don't add up.
Yes. This is where the plot again is very weak because you're just like, how the fuck is this guy in World War One, Vietnam? Yep. What's going on here, man? And that's where to me, this game starts falling apart. And I mean, it starts jumping off the nearest cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Amelie shoves Sam off. He reawakes in his private room. Now it's time for Sam to head all the way back east. So here is where I had a little trick for this. Okay. You basically wake up at the edge of the country where you made this whole journey up. And you now have to make your way all the way back to the very first city. And here's where I found online when I was looking through like trophy hints and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it basically said, well, if you hug the shoreline, like you can bypass like all the tough BTs and everything. So that's what I did. I hugged the shoreline to like the Timefall farm.
You.
And then that's where all the slingshots that I built were. And I just slingshot all the way home. So I had it very easy.
I'm not even mad. I went through it. I went through thick and thin, and I actually think it rewards you through it because you're now in this long journey back. You're now thinking about what's going on. Again, you answer one question. You find out Amelie's an extinction entity. You're finding out the chiral network is not what it seems to be. You're kind of going, who's Cliff? What's his relationship to Dead Hardman? Why is Dead Hardman on the beach? Mm-hmm. What was he doing all this time? Because no one fucking trusts this guy. And you're just thinking about all that while you're journeying back to some of your favorite locations. Like, again, mine's chapter 8 and chapter 7. And then, like, yeah, back to each city. I'm just like, I need to know. It was at this point where I was just like, I need to beat this fucking game right here, right now.
Yeah. Same.
Or else everything I've just learned, I'm gonna forget.
I believe it was like on a Sunday. I usually watch football on Sundays, and I was like, you know what? I'm speeding right through. I need to see where this is going. This is where, as crazy as it is, I'm invested. Like I want to see what happens.
But it's kind of out of frustration for me.
Yeah, sure. Yes. I get that. Right before Sam reaches his destination, a familiar storm kicks up, and he's off to have one last showdown with Clifford. After defeating him for the last time, Sam finally learns the truth. Clifford's actually not such a bad guy after all. He was a war hero, a loving father, and a heartbroken husband who was lied to when he entrusted his baby to Bridget Strand after his wife wound up in a coma. Oh, and Sam is actually Clifford's son, and he's also the BB that Cliff had been searching for all this time.
I'm just going to stop right there. I just remember the Parks and Rec line of like, I know a guy. He's a good guy, a little grabby, okay? War hero or war criminal, depending on who you ask. Yes, this is weird. So, like, you beat him in fucking Vietnam, and then all of a sudden he's like, let me just look at my BB. I just want my BB, that drips. And then you just hand him the baby, and he just, like, looks at it, and then he just poofs.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
What in the giant fuck is going on here, Kyle?
I I don't know. And like I just said, like Sam is actually BB. Like,
that's the part where I'm still, the ending is such a skew.
Yeah.
And God, now like, again, us going back to it with like, you know,
fresh eyes. Yeah.
Fresh eyes. I'm just like, oh,
okay. It gets to the point where how much rope do I have to like hang my disbelief for? Like,
yes.
I'm playing a video game. I get that. Yes. If snow touches his face in the mountains, his face should age. But this is like on a whole other level. How is the BB that you're using to detect BTs also you?
I don't think it's you.
I think it is.
Okay. So here's the deal. Going back a little bit, and I'll just lay a little bit more out there. Once you get to the first portion, you have one more boss fight. It's with a giant whale. It's a bad boss fight.
Yeah, it's awful. I think
we both agree. It's awful. It's not challenging. Again, this is it's kind of like Kojima. This is where Sony is like, dude, fucking enough. End it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. End it. We can't do this anymore. And then, yeah, you. I don't think you're the BB. I think you have a connection to BBs.
Oh.
Because
you are
a BB yourself. So it's kind of like you're hooking up to the internet.
Okay.
Yeah, yourself to the internet. Because what eventually you find out is that Amelie and Bridget are the same person, which I had a feeling about since chapter fucking two. And that Bridget had a baby, right?
Well,
and she miscarried.
Let me continue the synopsis. Maybe some of these will
continue.
Yeah,
look at us.
Yeah, look at us.
A deep dive on Death Stranding. We still have no fucking clue.
Oh, man. I remember that's the gameplay part. The story, it's a little hazy. Die Hard Man, a soldier who served under Clifford, attempted to give Cliff a head start to escape with his baby. But Clifford got caught, leading to Bridget giving Die Hard Man the order to kill him. Tragically, an errant bullet hits the BB, sending it to the beach, where Amelie is able to revive it and send it back to the world of the living, thus explaining not only Sam's gnarly stomach scar, but also his connection to the beach, his ability to repatriate back to life, and his relationship with Amelie. Though the baby can no longer serve its function as a BB, Bridget decides to adopt it and raise it as her own. Here is where now I realize that I was wrong. That Sam and BB are not the same.
They're not the same. You are Clifford Unger's kid. Okay, so now we're getting everybody on track here.
Yeah.
You're Cliff's kid. Don't worry, you two don't look... listen, you two looking nothing alike and him having, you know, a Norwegian accent is like the least of your concerns at this point when it comes to story. But this is the cool part. It was just like, okay, so Bridget and Amelie were the same person. And the reason why you have a connection to Amelie is because she revived you at the beach. That's why your beaches are the same. That's why you could go back to her beach. And that's where things just started. That's where my mind was getting blown.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy shit. Okay, this is cool. But I want to know how I'm going to talk to Amelie, who is suddenly the main bad guy who, you know, Higgs has been working with the whole time.
Yeah.
The reason why she wanted you to connect everybody together is so that she can start one big void out and kill the rest of humanity. Yeah. Or at least America. That's only a
It's like an episode of 24. Matters.
Yeah.
Like where the guy you're working with next door is actually the big bad the whole time and taking down CTU and America.
So get to the rest of this.
Back in the present, Sam travels to the beach once again to try and prevent Amelie from initiating the final stranding. But instead, Sam finds Bridget. It's here we learn the big secret. Amelie and Bridget are one and the same. Sort of. Bridget is the body to Amelie's soul that's stuck on the beach, together making up one entity. But before any more revelations, Sam's giving a choice. The sixth stranding has already begun. Does he sit back and watch it happen? Or does he cut his bond from Amelie and stop her from achieving her goal? Turns out, it's a bit of a fake choice. You can't actually kill Amelie, though you can watch the last stranding go down, which will only point you to a continue screen. Only by holstering your revolver and choosing to instead hug Amelie can you stop the sixth stranding from happening, or at the very least delay it. Now, when we were playing this, Joe,
yes,
when you were telling me about this, you were very frustrated at this part.
Yes.
Because you kept trying to shoot her.
I shoot the bitch. Because the whole thing is like, the apocalypse is going to happen. So everyone's fucked. Or, you know, if you shoot me, or if you don't shoot me, we watch it happen. We live happily ever after. Right? And the story is trying to build that Amelie's this big, important person. But to me, it's like, well, it's kind of like, yeah, Amelie may be my mom, but it's kind of like if Hitler was my dad, you know, I would still shoot Hitler.
Yeah.
I don't care about the bloodline. Yeah. So for me, I want this choice. I wanted that to be the end. Whereas it's like, okay, so if I kill her, I'm stranded on this beach for eternity, but I save the world. All right, I'm going to kill her.
Yeah.
You know, that's literally how I think about in life and all things. So I'm just like, all right, I'll take the short end of the stick. And it didn't give me that. Mm-hmm. And I was so frustrated. And it's still so confused at this ending that, you know what? I do think controls my game of the year. But yeah, so like, now going over it, again, we reached the peak and now we're just going down here.
Yeah. But to continue, yes. From the start, Amelie doesn't really want to bring on Extinction. Trapped as she is in her role as an Extinction entity, she actually approaches a young Sam and insists he stop her when the time is right, as he's the only one who can. But she knows Extinction is an inevitability, and eventually the thought of waiting on the beach for however many hundreds of thousands of years gets to her. "I didn't think anyone would blame me," she pleaded with present-day Sam. But by hugging her, Sam reminded Amelie that it was the bonds between people that Sam valued most. And because of that, she accepts a lonely fate relegated to the beach for however long it takes to usher in Extinction naturally. So here's the part of the story when it comes to Sam's character growth that I really, really love. Is the fact that when you holster the gun, Sam does the thing that he has avoided this entire game. Actual physical touch with another person. And he goes up and he's like, "Listen, I know things are tough." Basically, like, okay. This is how I'm interpreting it. Like, I'm going to hug you and show you that you're still loved and, like, you can be different. Like, you cannot, you're not pigeonholed into, like, I'm going to bring everything to an end now. Like,
okay.
It's not a rush. I get it. Like, this is your sole purpose right now. But there are people that love you and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're not confined to what it's kind of like. You're not confined to what you think destiny is.
Absolutely.
What this path that's laid out in front of you, you don't have to take it.
Yeah.
Just because it says you have to. To me, this was like an analog for mortality and death.
Mm-hmm.
That's hey, listen, you know, listener, let's get real happy and joyful for a second. One day, we're all going to just not exist. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, and how do people deal with that? And so you see the nihilist that is Higgs. He's the total opposite of you. He's given up hope. He's just like, fuck it. If we're all going to die anyway, might as well do it now. Mm-hmm. And what this story here tells you right now is that, well, life is beautiful because it ends. And it'll end eventually, but it's the bonds and it is the company we keep that is what it has the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. And that's Kojima's overall message is one day we're going to die, but it's literally, it is, but that journey along the way. And it doesn't matter what you believe in, because whatever you believe in is the right way. Mm-hmm. And I'm digging that line of mentality. And it is, can make connections with people.
Yeah.
Talk to someone, hug someone, tell someone you care, tell someone you love them. Like, that's what life is.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked here as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this also is the start of every character that you've met kind of having their character changes. Like we've already seen that with Mama and Lachna, how they were so against odds with each other that they overcame that and now are one because they know there's a sole reason why they need to be together. But anyway, after the world-saving hug, Sam wanders the beach listening to Amelie and Bridget's whole story. And eventually, I'm going to stop right there because this was the super annoying. This is the credit sequence. This is where you're stuck on the beach. You're Sam, all grayed out, like very washed, neutral colors.
Smurf. I call him Smurf.
And I don't know, man. It is what, a half hour? 45 minutes of just running the beach, running.
It feels like an eternity.
It does. It really does. It basically feels like we are in purgatory. And
Kyle, I texted you going, what the fuck?
I was very frustrated myself. But you basically, no matter which direction you go, eventually Sam will get tired and fall down. And then Amelie/Bridget shows up and just gives her a lot of things that you already were told, but even more for the whole story of her.
Yeah.
And I think it happens 5 times where you run and then collapse and then Bridget tells more story. I get it, Kojima. You wanted to tell more story here. You didn't want to leave any stone left unturned, but this was a lot after an emotional last scene for some, for me. Like, it was just more exposition that I didn't want to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I did appreciate it. Yeah. I did like the backstory of like, hey, so this is what happened in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, here's why I'm the Han and the Ka. I died, but came back and got like, she's pretty much actually, Amelie's like reverse Jesus.
Yeah.
In a way mm-hmm. where like the sun is on earth and, you know, and God's up there doing whatever.
I also think it should have been delivered in a better way than having.
Absolutely. This, all of this should have happened. There's a lot of bullshit in this, we could call it fluff, but it is what it is. There's a lot of bullshit of things are happening because we're telling you they're happening instead of proactively finding out in video games, right? So, like, to me, I feel like this game could have been condensed heavily into every chapter giving you a piece of the puzzle rather than, hey, the last 3 chapters are just an hour and 30-minute cutscene that kind of falls apart. And I know our friend Birdo, friend of the show, he's just like, I loved this game up until the final 3 chapters because he gave me so much exposition that, like, I couldn't absorb it all.
Yeah.
And I couldn't give a shit afterwards. Because, like, it's literally they gave you an ending of a 40-hour game or 60, depending, and then another hour on top of it just not doing anything. And as a video game, your hand's supposed to move the controller. Yeah. You're supposed to constantly keep thinking, you know, every 40 seconds.
That is the one thing I see online all the time from the fanboys on either side. Like, Xbox, like, here's how Sony exclusives are played. You play for a little bit, then you set the controller down for minutes on end to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, most of the time it works. But here, there was a lot of controller down.
It didn't.
Yeah, so basically you get her whole backstory, and eventually he is rescued and brought back to the world of the living, thanks to the combined efforts of Hartman, Lachna/Malingan, which is Mama, Deadman, and Fragile, who managed to track Sam down thanks to the revolver that Die Hard Man brought into the beach, which contained Sam's own blood in the hematic rounds. And this is kind of like, and when Death Stranding was first appeared, you saw the people floating in the sky. These are your friends at the end of the game. That is who they are looking for. Sam, try to bring him back.
That was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Be honest with you. He showed you the ending in like the first trailer.
Yep.
That's actually pretty dope.
Yeah. And I don't think it says so here, but that took a lot out of Fragile. She was hopping from beach to beach.
Yeah, she's woozy as fuck at this point.
And
she was already in a coma-esque state when you found her.
Yeah.
And so, like, this almost killed her.
Yeah.
And I cared the most about Fragile out of everybody. So, like, the one cool thing about the gun is they keep on beating you over the head. And I think Kojima thought that it would ring true to me now that I'm thinking about it is, they give you the gun and it's like, this is not going to solve any of your problems.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, they said that to me 3 times because I should have just holstered it.
Uh-huh.
Well, whatever.
I mean, also, Kojima, then why put combat in the game? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But so like afterwards, you see the new president of the United States is Die Hard Man.
Oh yeah, I have that here.
Go for it.
Episode 14 plot summary. It's still not over. From there, Die Hard Man becomes the new president of the UCA, sharing an inauguration speech that makes Sam uncomfortable with its overwhelming praise. Fragile, meanwhile, continues her delivery business, and Fragile Express becomes the first private delivery firm to be approved by the UCA. Here is also where Fragile also reveals she never shot Higgs, but instead let him spend eternity on the beach. So the gunshot is... I thought Higgs shot himself, maybe, because she left the gun to him.
Mm-hmm. Again, common trope here. We're frigid Higgs.
Yeah.
yeah, no. This opens up to a sequel, obviously, at that point. But do we want one? Who knows? We'll talk about that in a second.
She offers Sam a job to work for her one last time, but Sam insists on...
Offer me a job.
Sam insists on remaining a lone wolf. After Die Hard Man's presidential inauguration, Dead Man returns Sam's BB Lou back to him. Unfortunately, Lou is dead, and Dead Man gives him the news that to prevent a void out, Lou will need to be incinerated like any other corpse. You wanted to hop in there?
Yeah, no, once when they, I don't know why, but when he was giving his speech, I immediately thought of Barack Obama, and I was just like, man, I miss him so much. But then I was just like, in my head, I was just like, wait a second, Monty Python skit walked in, it was like, I didn't vote for you.
Also, you know, Dead Man gives BB, or gives Lou back to Sam here. Yeah. But before that, and this is why I think he didn't show up on our best performance thing, but like Die Hard Man, the actor, Tommy.
This.
Oh, God.
Tommy Earl Jenkins.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
This scene is incredible. Yeah. The facial. The mocap.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He basically breaks down and tells Sam, like, I'm sorry for what I did with Clifford. Like, I was wrong. Basically begging for forgiveness to Sam.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, man, you felt every emotion coming out of Tommy Earl Jenkins' face. God. It was incredible.
There's even at one point, like, snot comes out of his fucking nose. It was just like... At this point, I'm just like, Kyle, I think this game is the most beautiful game I've ever seen.
Definitely one of the best performed games. Minus that minor character.
Oh yeah.
But
I'm sorry, but like graphically.
Oh, graphically for sure.
Like the facial animation on Dead Man when he's like when he's just fucking nailing this scene so hard. Mm-hmm. I was just like, where's the Academy? The Academy, where are you? Like this is it's standout. Yeah. It's amazing. And yeah, he goes to tell you like, you don't understand. I love this country. I love democracy. I love Clifford. Goes into it as in, they call me Die Hard Man because every conflict that we were ever in together, Clifford saved me. I was supposed to die in these situations. Clifford wouldn't let me die. That's why I gave him the go-ahead to steal you. And it's kind of like he's apologizing to Cliff through you because you are the last of the bloodline.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I loved so much is he's on his knees. I don't know if he knows that you have a gun on you that to pop him once, but when he hands him back the gun, he's like, "Here's a gun. It's not going to solve any of your problems." And it goes, and that's where time's a flat circle, where the gun that shot Cliff, that shot you, that began this whole fucking mess. Mm-hmm. Goes right back to the person that unintentionally pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Some good because story when Cliff, in that instance.
Yeah. Because they show Cliff trying to escape. And again, Bridget finding him with the bridge baby, you. And then telling Die Hard Man to pull the trigger. He wouldn't. And she does it for him.
Yeah.
And unknowingly, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also during that time when you see Cliff trying to escape with BB that like he interacts with Sam, which is weird.
Yes. Yeah, there's just
I don't know. But anyways.
It's a beautiful scene though. Like
oh, for sure.
Cuz he's talking and it's kind of cool. I forget what movie they also do this from, but like he's talking to you about how proud he is of you. And all the great things you're going to do. Uh-huh. And he's talking to no one. It's kind of like Gladiator, actually. End of Gladiator makes me cry all the time because he's going to Valhalla. He's seeing his wife. You know, he's touching the blade, you know, the blades of the grain and just. Yeah, that scene was fucking emotional.
Yeah.
But then when they hand you the your BB.
Yeah.
Did you get emotional? Like, people, like, when they told me BB died or is going to or whatever, and we need to incinerate him, I started to sob. Did you get that type of reaction for the last chapter?
Absolutely. And I was going to wait till the end of this thing, but, like, yeah, I was an emotional wreck, not to mention that they were playing the BB theme on this journey back, which before we get there, Deadman heavily implies to Sam that Lou could be taken out of the pod to see what happens, but he also warns Sam that it'd be in direct violation of the UCA's orders. He then disconnects Sam's cufflinks from the UCA, explaining that Sam can now remove them if needed, thereby disappearing off the UCA's radar. Officially free of the UCA, Sam travels to the incinerator to dispose of Lou's body. Deadman's words reverberate in Sam's head. He starts the process of incinerating Lou, but grabs him at the last second. Sam instead incinerates his cufflinks and removes Lou from the BB pod. After a struggle, Sam is able to revive Lou. The two leave the incinerator, and now that Sam is fully disconnected from the UCA, they seemingly will go on to live as father and daughter. Oh, right. The scene shows Sam naming BB Louise. I was an emotional wreck at the journey to...
Why am I getting emotional right now?
You know, you spend the whole game, you build the game is all about connection, and you build this connection with this baby that has literally kept you alive. And
who's giving you shit when it starts crying and you gotta rock it. Mm-hmm. You know, you are connected to this thing, and then all of a sudden you have to say goodbye.
Yeah, and knowing what has happened to Sam, whose dad was Cliff, you didn't have a father. This BB has only known, like, a military version or, like, a vision of what it needed to do. It had a job. It's not a human being in everyone else's eyes. And the fact that he changed his mind at the end and took Louise out of the pod and saved her life, and now just thinking they're going to be in their own little shelter and living life, like, it's real.
Ordering pizzas.
It's really, really beautiful. Well, and, like, I can't understate how great the BB theme is. It makes this whole last chapter. That song is really, really great.
Can I be real with you?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Every time I listen to that song, I get emotional. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, it reminds me of all the emotions that Death Stranding gives you. Yes, the frustration at the end of the 10th through chapter 13.
Yes.
I don't think are needed. But, like, you get to the, like, why this game's so good. And you're just seeing, it's not through the story, because the story at the end of the day, let's be real with each other, it's a video game story. Yeah. So probably not that great. But you're looking at all the people that have helped you along this journey. You're thinking of all the bridges people put up for you, the slingshots, the mushroom, you know, umbrellas that give you fucking
shelter,
you know, sprays and shelters. Yeah. Like, you think of all the people that helped you along the way. Mm-hmm. And that's where it hit me.
Yeah. Also really cool that you were taking the same trek you took as, like, a tutorial at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And you still have the ladders left by the porter that gave you BB. Still laying there for you to use to get to the incinerator.
And it's all rusted as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Rusted, longing, homecoming. God damn it, we activated the other soldier. But yeah, no, this scene's awesome. The one thing I do want to cut off with, I don't think there's any toxic rain anymore, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any time.
It was very, very
because
sunny.
It starts
it's
to
beautiful.
Rain and you see, like, a rainbow, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And he's looking up and he's with the kid. And so it looks like the Death Stranding has been halted for now. And to me, this could end, and we'll talk about it in a second. This could end as a solo thing. It could carry on with Higgs. But I do want to say the thing that got me very emotional with the kid is the fucking name.
Mm.
Luis. Mm-hmm. So this is the part where I was just like, this is one of the, I legitimately cried. Because that's my grandpa's name.
Oh.
And so I was just like, oh, fuck, this story of life and death and what life means. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah. Luis, I mean, that's beautiful, though.
Fuck.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But I was just like, ah, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, Kyle, I know this is a very condensed version.
Yes.
Of the Road to Greatness, and kind of wrapping this thing up with a bow and sending it out there.
Yeah, I want to ask you, actually. I think that's probably where you're going anyway. But do you want a Death Stranding sequel?
No.
I don't either.
Not, and again, not because I know I sounded so negative.
Yeah.
Because I think Kojima tries to do something very different. He doesn't stick the landing completely. And you can argue at all.
Yeah.
But to me, the gameplay mechanic is the thing that hooks me, is why I love this game so much. Mm-hmm. The last chapter is great. I just feel like if chapter 10 through 13 was instead 7 through 9, mm-hmm. and that this game ended at a chapter 10 or 11...
Yeah.
That this would have been one of the best games I've ever played, just like bar none this generation. But because it drags on, I was just like, ooh.
Yeah, it overstays its welcome.
It overstays its welcome with the cutscenes. And I'm just like, Kojima, you want to make a movie? Like, just make a movie, dude.
Yeah.
But I not for this fact that it didn't completely stick its landing, but the story it tells, it told.
Yeah.
And I would like a game one game to tell the story it wants to tell without having to have a sequel.
Yeah.
Without having to be a franchise.
Absolutely.
And I would like that to be this game.
Yep. Same.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, The Last of Us was that game, but we are getting a sequel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a self-contained story. I don't want to see Higgs come back. I think that would be really weird. I don't want to see... Yeah. I don't want to play as Fragile, even though that would be kind of cool. Like, I don't want to be part of the UCA anymore. I did it in this game. This game is great on its own. Which leads me to how we're going to rank games here on the Road to Greatness.
Okay.
We are the trophy room, right? And what better way to rank games on this road to greatness than with trophy levels?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, Joe, from bronze, silver, gold, or platinum, where does Death Stranding rate on that scale? Obviously, platinum being the best of the best, bronze being, you know, still quality, but not as high as the others.
Right. What would we give a game? I'm not saying this is Death Stranding, but like, that's like plain old shit. It's just bad. I don't think we ever would.
No, I don't think
so. Because if we really hate a game, I think it would end at the impressions portion.
Yeah.
I'll go
first because
I've thought about this. I'm thinking. Go for it.
I absolutely love Death Stranding. I love most of what it does. Yes, the story is convoluted at times and it's hard to follow. The combat was not needed in my eyes. I wish it was just a game about a journey. And because of those nicks, I can't quite give it the platinum, but it is a gold tier game. I think it deserves a gold trophy. I think if Kojima scaled back, like you just mentioned, the last couple chapters, and that was kind of all within the chapter 7 through 9 or whatever, I think it would have lent itself better. It would have probably left with a better taste in people's mouths after they beat it. So I would say a gold. It deserves a gold for sure.
Okay. So for me, here's what I'm thinking, right? Platinum is like a game you need to play. It's a Last of Us, it's a God of War, it's a genre defining game. Kojima says it's made a new genre. I believe it. I've never played a game like this. So, but I'm not giving that just a platinum just for the sake of that, because I don't think this is a must play. Gold would be a game like, you know, Like a game like Spider-Man that is really freaking fantastic. Yeah. It's also a must play, but is not at the caliber of what a God of War is or what a Last of Us is. Again, I love Spider-Man. Yeah, it's my favorite superhero. I'm not saying anything.
No.
Like if Spider-Man's your platinum, I get it. And I'm just saying that as an example. It probably is. Let me think of something else. No, that's all I can think of. Sorry. So, like, it's still a must play. It's an excellent game. It's a must buy. Where I get to silver is, it's a really good game. It's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. You don't need to buy it immediately. Yeah. You could wait for a sale, but it's still really good. And then Platinum
So real quick, for example, for Silver, I would probably put Days Gone in that level. I think Days Gone is a pretty good game. It's great when it gets later on in the way, but you can totally wait for a sale to buy that.
Yeah. And then like you have your bronze tier, which is like, let's just put it in there, Order 1886. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Not just because I'm watching stream of it right now. But like Order 1886 is a game where, yeah, you don't need to buy it full price. I would wait for a deep sale. It's an okay experience. It's not the best thing in the world. I would rank this at a silver tier. It's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. It is a very divisive game. I think the writing is at times brilliant to half-baked. And it is sometimes over-the-top ham-fisted and then just geniusly written. And there's just no in-between.
Yeah.
But the gameplay is so freaking phenomenal. Yeah. And I think we've been saying this since day one. If Kojima has someone saying and pulling him back, I think with some certain ideas, I think there is no way that he can't be or his studio can't make some of the greatest games out there.
Oh, for sure.
Because when Kojima is on a level and he's focused, banger. But when it's like, I'm making a fucking Heart Lake because this guy's name's Heart Man.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm just like, all right, come on, fucking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, why does Die Hard Man have the mask? No, not never told.
I feel like, you sure? I feel like there was something in there about it, but we're already at the end of the episode. Nope. We're not gonna go into it.
Yeah, that's been the road to greatness, though. Again, condensed, we wanted to wrap up Death Stranding with a bow so that we can start anew. And we will be starting with Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. Expect that mid-February. We'll give you a hard date once we figure out when we're going to record it together. Yep. And trust me, gang, you don't want to miss out on it. Do your homework. Go out there. Get Lost Legacy.
And also, like, if we want to give a little tease to Uncharted Lost Legacy, it's not a super long game. You can get through it in under 10 hours easy, especially if you just want the story part and play on Explorer difficulty with auto aim on. Yeah. It makes things so easy and simple. So if you want to follow along for the next recording, I highly recommend it. It's going to be a fun time. I'm excited to talk Uncharted with you, Joe.
Now let's roadshop this. Let's pull over for a second.
All right.
Let kids settle down.
Yep.
Watch Tom and Jerry.
I don't care if you have to pee. We just stopped.
God damn it, Jeremy! How many times? Sorry, guys. Ooh, sorry. Our household's very toxic. Someone please call the government. Jesus Christ. When it gets to Uncharted, do you want to do two parts? So that, like, people have a stop and then they can continue? Because the first four chapters, once we get to chapter four, it's very fast until chapter four. You know what I mean? Or do you want to do it in just one shot?
I kind of want to do it in one shot.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So there you go. That's your homework assignment. Again, the game is about 8 hours long. Go for it.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you what chapter we hit every time we hit
Absolutely.
It. So you could stop. And then go back to it once you beat this certain thing. So, with all that said, with all that out of the way, Kyle,
that's
you
fine.
Do it. You're the host. What do you mean? Fuck me.
Thanks for joining us on this road to greatness. I can't wait for you to hop on in the whip, as the young kids say, and come along with us on the journey. We've never ended an arc of the road to greatness before, so I'm workshopping it live.
Okay.
Grab your snacks. Grab some crossword puzzles, your Vitas, your PSPs for the ride, because we're on our way to be great. See you next time. Bye.